The studio with me, I have Michael Kelly, and we're going to talk about an auction of vinyl. But first, I had a quick look through some of them, and Absa said absolutely fabulous. And as I was saying to you, Michael, some of them you'd buy just for the covers alone, wouldn't you?
Beautiful. Yeah, actually a lot of work and a lot of effort went into producing those. And then when they started doing the coloured vinyl, I think a lot of people thought it was just a bit of a gimmick, you know. I don't think anyone thought these things are going to be hugely collectible because they were issued in such small numbers.
Okay, the auction now is in the auction rooms in the East Wall Roads, just beside the Point Depot, and it's on the 28th, the O2. We're just discussing with people.
Yeah.
The O2, and it's on October the 28th. It's on a Saturday, and it's starting at 12, is that right?
Yeah, the auction starts at 12, but there's viewing all that week of the 20th to the 28th, there is viewing of these auction lots, and people are welcome to drop along there any time and have a look and view the lots. The auction itself starts at 12.
Okay, now 12. I noticed you had to have singles as well as the LPs of the old vinyl, and a lot of them look like collectors to me, pieces to me, would they be?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like that particular one there, that's an issue by Horse Lips, colour vinyl single, and it's in the shape of a shamrock. Massive.
Well,
The Shamrock Shore was a big number by them.
I was going to say it's a pity we're not on TV, but we actually are. So if you're watching us on the webcam, there you go. It's like a shamrock green.
It's fabulous, you know. The
needle just goes around the middle part.
It was an advertising gimmick at the time, but it's become an icon collector's piece. You know, Horse Lips, of course, were years ahead of their time in all their album covers and even in the music and all that they did in their production and in their mixing and everything. They're back on the road recently. I think they came back last Christmas. There, you know.
So when you go in with these with the auction, do you have an idea of the prices so you'd be able to gauge what people are?
Well, yeah, roughly. I mean, they're about 10 to 15 euros each of those coloured vinyls, and the picture LPs and singles are about double, treble that. Unless, of course, it's something special like the Police or the Beatles or something like that, you know.
Okay. You were explaining something about one of the Beatles LPs and the distribution and the numbers, and that's what makes them special. Does that apply to them all, the amount that's printed, or is it?
Yeah, well, you see, when the Beatles started producing LPs, vinyl, we were just coming out. Stereo was a newfangled thing that was just coming in. And they produced them in mono and in stereo, the early Beatles LPs. And the stereo version was a couple of shillings dearer. I mean, it was £1 12 and 6 for an LP. Would you believe that? Easton's Basement, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were all students at the time, and you couldn't afford an LP. But luckily, they brought out the LP in four EPs, which were 10 and sixpence. And you could just afford 10 and six every 2 weeks. So you got your Beatles LP at the end of the month, like, by having it as four EPs.
That'd be the week you say to the girlfriend, listen, stay in and wash your hair.
Well, that's it.
I'm going to buy a record. But there's a massive interest in this. I was only talking to someone a couple of weeks ago on air, actually, about the sadness of a lot of the record shops that have closed down, really. And that's where you went to sort of forage for a lot of these things that you have around.
True.
It's terrible.
Yeah. The recession is hitting in. The fact that rents on shops in high thoroughfare, high walkway places are very, very expensive. And, of course, it's a very low margin on second-hand records and vinyl records. I suppose the internet has hit it a little bit. And certainly the fact that CDs, and you can download everything from the internet now on a payment, of course, I think that has hit the thing. People don't want to have loads of records lying around when they can have it all in a small little matchbox iPod, press a button, connect it to your speakers and you're away.
They don't know what they're missing, though.
Well, that's true, really. I mean, there is the thing.
When you look at the beauty of the covers on these and the illustrations, they're absolutely fabulous. This is the Beatles and this is the famous Sergeant Pepper. And you were saying that this one is a limited edition one.
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
So you want to ask our listeners something about this one?
Well, yeah, maybe. Sergeant Pepper was a massive hit record. I mean, it was a record that went continuous from one track into the other. It was very well produced. It was a huge hit with all fans, Beatles fans and pop fans. They then produced this particular one that we have here, which is a picture disc LP of Sergeant Pepper. The top side of the record is in fact exactly the cover photograph mm-hmm. with all the hundreds and hundreds of people that were film, in that,
all the
were
film
in that
stars
photo. Oh, yeah, so it was absolutely there, fabulously yeah. done. When they brought this out again as an advertising gimmick, they made a special pressing of 500 of them for the people involved in the production of the record, friends, musicians of the Beatles. And they were given out as presents. So there are only 500 of one particular pressing of that picture disc LP of Sgt. Pepper. And the only difference is a coding. It's either a coding on the printed sleeve or a coding engraved in the centre of the record. And I would love to know if anyone out there knows what that coding is.
I'll be looking in my attic when I go home.
Well, it tells us that that record is either worth €200 or over €2,000.
Wow. So if anyone out there knows the code that for the more expensive one, please, please let us know. And this is the date is on the 1967, around that time as well.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic, as I said, the covers alone are worth, I mean, the Abbey Road one.
Abbey Road, there you go. People still go. That crossroads is still there. I've seen modern photographs of people who set up that walk across the road and have someone standing there with a camera taking a photo on their phone.
It's an iconic picture, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
How did you get into all this?
I love music. I was involved in bands and groups in the 60s, and it's just I wasn't good enough to be a musician, so I used to listen to it.
Mm-hmm. And you have a massive collection yourself?
I do, yeah, I have. Yeah, I do, I have. Mm-hmm. I have. I suppose you could say I have the Beatles complete. I was one of the weird guys because I liked the Stones as well as the Beatles. And there's a lot of people, you had to be one or the other.
It was like Manchester United and Liverpool.
Correct, yeah. You couldn't be on both sides. Yeah. But I loved all sorts of music, even to the classical stuff, you know, as well.
But can I ask you now, there's lots of people that are really still into buying vinyl. I see them in markets and charity shops and wherever that they can. And you have sort of obvious ones now with the Beatles and you have the Police there and you have Debbie Harry, but you also have the Steve Miller Band and the famous Tubular Bells.
Absolutely.
Can we talk about that?
Sure, yeah. Well, Tubular Bells is absolutely timeless. I mean, it was the hippie 60s, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That really did it. It was fantastic background music. You didn't have to be on any kind of drug, alcohol or smoke induced to appreciate it. It's just fabulous music. Mm-hmm. And it's timeless. I've played Tubular Bells there within the last year or so, listening mm-hmm. to it and saying, oh, is it going to be age? It's not. It's still fabulous.
It is, right? Oh, Mike Oldfield, yeah. No doubt about it. Yeah. He did some of the great stuff as well. It's something we listen to all the time. And the Steve Miller Band
Band, a particular favourite of mine, I suppose. Yeah, they had plenty of hits. I wouldn't say they were underrated in any way, but the name has faded a little bit. Like Beatles and Stones stay, and even Blondie stays in people's minds at the moment. But there are fantastic other out there. There are fantastic other bands and groups out there. And I suppose the modern generation are soon going to discover them, really, you know.
Okay, just remind our listeners, we're talking to Michael Kelly, and he's going to have an auction of vinyls down in the auction rooms beside the O2 there, and it's on the 28th, Saturday the 28th at 12 o'clock. Is anyone obscure in there to the extent, apart from, as I say, some of them are fairly obvious with these maybe one-hit wonders or anything like that? Is there anything like
Oh,
that?
Yeah, well, in
do you get that sort of interest?
There's everything. Listen, there's everything. I mean, it's not just pop, a bit of rock. I mean, the U2s and the Tin Lizzy. There's loads of that stuff there. There's also, I mean, there's the most complete collection of Richard Clyderman I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah, boxed albums. I mean, there's absolutely...
He's coming here soon, I think.
Is he?
Yeah. And this one you were telling me about, the Beatles, the famous
Beatles
She
single,
Loves
She Loves You. Yeah.
Now, the back of it, the B-side, as they call it, I'll Get You. What were you telling me about that, about the
words?
Yeah,
when they recorded it, there's a mistake on the record. Lennon McCartney wrote the song, and there's a line in the song it's not likely to pretend, but I'll get you in the end. Oh, no, that's the wrong line, isn't it? There's going to be a time when you're going to change change your mind, so you may as well resign yourself to me. That's the line in the song. When they were recording it, Paul McCartney sang the correct words, but John Lennon sang the words, there's going to be a time when you're going to make your mind. Mm-hmm. And you can actually hear the word make sung by John Lennon and change sung by Paul McCartney quite clearly on the record.
Now, is that on this particular one, or is it
it's
all copies?
It's on all copies. Yeah. It is on all copies.
I was just wondering, would it be like the famous Elvis one? I mean, I actually have a copy of an Elvis song where he's, and it's just 30 seconds where he's rehearsing a particular song, and there's hardly any music at all, and then it was probably thrown aside and someone picked it up and I got my hands on it. But there was also the famous one, isn't when he's giggling at your lungs.
Correct.
But they made a hit out of that as well.
He broke down laughing.
So I was wondering, the Beatles...
Yeah, it's like a record outtake.
But they didn't correct it?
No, they didn't correct it.
Okay.
They didn't. It was a rush pressing getting this out. I mean, I don't know how many weeks into charts that was. It was mm-hmm. fantastic. The royalties on that, you see, it was a great thing in those days. The A side was a hit, but you got just as much royalties for the B side when mm-hmm. it was a hit, when it got to number one. So mm-hmm. all the people that wrote the songs on the B-side of the A-side hits mm-hmm. got just as much money as the top writers.
And in the Beatles' case, it was Lennon McCartney.
Well, it was, yeah. They had it sewn up in every way.
Is this the first auction you've ever had?
It is. It's the first major auction of records like this. Most stuff like this, I suppose, sells piece by piece, possibly on the internet. It's fraught with danger, stuff getting damaged and all the rest mm-hmm. of it. You can actually come and see the condition of the... I mean, most of these picture discs are absolutely mint, never been played or used. It was a collector. He obviously had, because of the fact that we have the Beatles Abbey Road in the limited edition picture disc, it's also there mm-hmm. as the original disc. Mm-hmm. So he played the ordinary disc and he kept this. Maybe as a frame on the wall, maybe as a thing. I mean, with this recession on, people who are interested in vinyl, you can actually pick up bargains. Mm-hmm. You absolutely can.
I think some of the concerts I go to as well, that I just, when I see all the farrah with the lights and the flashing lights and the bangs and all, I'm just saying, just come on and sing and play some music that I enjoy listening to on the record. I don't need all the ostentation and all the showiness of it. And I think with the records as well, there wasn't one of the Beatles song CDs that they updated and remastered. Just leave the goddamn things alone.
Yeah.
Better in the original sense.
It was the same with equipment. I mean, back in the days of the valve amplifiers that bands and groups used on stage and in recording studios, and then they came out with the electronic version of that, the transistorized version, mm-hmm. and then they started building transistorized amplifiers with a built-in valve sound, you know. They put distortion into the amplifier to give it the sound that you get. I mean, it was just,
Yeah, sometimes progress ruins things a little bit too much. Okay, this is taking place on the 28th of October, Michael. So what sort of thing, people just go and bid on these, or will there be a starting price?
You would need... Oh, yes, there's always an estimate. There's an estimate on it. It's imperative for people to come and view. They're not all single lots. You know, like all those Beatles ones will possibly be together in one or two lots. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it... I mean, there's something like... There's over 2,000 singles, and you can go right from A to Z with mm-hmm. it. You know, there's everything in it. And they are sort of done up in lots of 50 or 100. So you really need to view, have a close look at what they are.
And is there other people going to be bringing stuff along?
Oh, no. Everything is yours. Yeah. No, the way an auction works... literally 2 to 3 months before an auction, you need to consign your items to auction because they have to be written up. We have to produce a catalogue or a listing, and there's no point in people bringing along records on the day to try and sell. No, that doesn't.
Okay, but you're going to have them on show for the week leading up to the 20th.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. What times will people be able to get down there?
From 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock any day down at Dublin Auction Rooms, down the end of East Wall there, and it's right on the corner at the turning point for the O2 and the ferry, just right on that T junction on the right hand side. You'll see all the signage, no mm-hmm. problem. Come along and you can do your viewing, get your get your bid in mind. Come along on the day of the auction, you register, you sign in, you give your name, address, you get a paddle, you get a number, a bidding number, and you fire away on that.
Okay, well, if we've touched a nerve with any of our listeners at all, I advise you to go down and have a look at them, because they're really, really beautiful, and it gives you plenty more time to decide what you want, because there's going to be such an array. As Michael said, there's going to be hundreds of them, and I just have maybe about 24 in here today, and the colours and the covers, just without the records, is worth buying alone. But just go down there and have a look. But the auction is taking place on the 28th of October at the auction rooms down at the O2. Listen, Michael, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you indeed.
No. It's been great to reminisce, actually, to look over some of these again. And I am going to raid the attic. Well, my son has all his records up there, and when I see these, I was giving out about them, but I'm not going to give out about them anymore. I'm just going to raid them. Okay. Thanks very much, Michael.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, Noel.